morning. Again, Jesse, I'm Jesse Socia. I'm the Director of Non-Depository Supervision of the Texas Department of Banking. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. This meeting is being held via conference call as authorized by Section 154.355 of the Texas Finance Code. At this time, I will take roll call of the Texas Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council. And I'll start off with Rebecca Ann Motley.
Yes, I'm here.
Amy Biggs.
Here.
Kyle Williams.
Here.
Okay, thank you. We have a quorum for the Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council, and I call this meeting to order. The time is 10:02 a.m. So, from the Department of Banking, we have Jay Kim, Review Examiner, and also Marcus Adams, Deputy General Counsel, obviously myself, and we also do have Wendy Rodriguez, which is Deputy Commissioner. Sorry, and I will go ahead and let her say hi and introduce herself real quick.
Good morning, everyone. Again, Wendy Rodriguez with the Texas Department of Banking, Deputy Commissioner. I'm here on behalf of Charles Cooper, who had to attend a law enforcement memorial service this morning in memoriam of his father. So I am here in his place for today's meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. So now that we know who's participating, before we get started, I do want to go ahead and introduce everyone to our newest member, Kyle Williams. Kyle is the Vice President and General Manager of Williams Funeral Directors in Garden, Texas. He has extensive experience in funeral home and cemetery operations, including PSC regulatory compliance. He has worked with the department in the past as it relates to the prepaid funeral guarantee, prepaid funeral contract informational brochure that we still utilize today. Kyle will serve as a trust-funded prepaid funeral contract representative, and we look forward to his contributions in this council. So thank you, Mr. Williams, again for agreeing to be a member of this. So I just want to introduce everyone.
I'm honored. Thank
you
for the invitation.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Okay, well, the first agenda item is discussion and possible vote to approve the minutes of the May 26, 2022 Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council meeting. As everyone knows, let me backtrack a little bit. Everybody should have received by email the guarantee fund packet. So we'll be following that. And this is item A. And we're going to go over the minutes from last year's meeting, which are also available on our website, the active recordings. But at this time, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the May 26, 2022 Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council meeting?
I'll make the motion.
And can you please, as we go that, can you please just state your name for the record, please?
Amy Biggs.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second Rebecca Motley.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. Thank you for that. Okay. So now let's go to agenda item B. In this scenario, basically, we're going to go over the fund activity from the period of March 1st, 2022 to February 28th, 2023. I'm going to go ahead and go over it, and as we go over it, you know, just let me know if you have any questions. But on page 3, as you all recall, we do have two funds. We have the Trust Funded Guarantee Fund and the Insurance Funded Fund as well. And I'm gonna start off with the Trust Fund and Guarantee Fund activity first. So on page 3, we have a summary of all the activity for the 12-month period. You'll notice that there is a gray bar And everything on the left-hand side of that bar is guaranteed fund activity. So those are actual withdrawals and deposits to the fund. And everything on the right-hand side of that is where we deposit and reconcile funds associated with seizures, maybe potential illegal contracts, and so forth. So just that's why we have some accounting of those two different accounts, and then they're all consolidated into one account, basically, So the first thing I'm just going to hit some highlights. Everything on the left-hand side of the bar is basically just trustee fees of $867.11 and interest earned. Other than that, there's really no other activity on that part. Everything on the right-hand side is just some activity related to ongoing cases that we've had in the past. I'll highlight some of them. On number two, for example, that is a restitution that we're receiving from Mr. Kinney. And that relates to the sale and mishandling of prepaid funeral contracts. So this individual had a prepaid funeral contract permit, but he mishandled and didn't deposit the funds as required. So he's still required to provide some restitution to us for that, and that represents the deposits that he made in this 12-month period. Other withdrawals are, if you look at items 6 and 9, those are basically payments that we made. So this is another illegal mishandling of contracts related to Tim Gaffney. And in the Killeen area, again, these are all very old cases, but what happened there, we found some illegal contracts, the funds were deposited, collected from him as part of restitution. We're holding those funds here, and for these consumers, for their use in the future. So with these two, actually, we were able to get the consumers to rewrite the contracts to insurance funded, and this represents the payment from the fund to the insurance company, one of our insurance company, National Garden Life. So our hope is to be able to do this for the rest of them. We've been contacting the consumers and some of the funeral homes so that we can get the money out of the trust fund, out of this fund, and into an insurance funded permit. You'll notice that is the bulk of that money that we have here. If you look at the comments under section one, you have $49,000 from Gaffney and $9,300 from Dan Brothers. Both of these are related to the same issue. So we're trying to kind of clean this up a little bit and not have those funds sitting there. Other than that, just some, you know, we issue restitution checks. Some of these checks sometimes are not cashed by the consumer, or they are either, maybe they moved away or something, and these checks come back to us, and then what we do is we cancel them and reissue them in their name to the comptroller's office as abandoned property. So that's what some of the zeros in there, like 7, 10, and 11, that's what that indicates. It's just basically an offsetting entry. So that's 3 and 4. Pages 5 through 8 are the quarterly reconciliations. So we produce every quarter a recap of the activity. These recaps are also presented to our Finance Commission during our Finance Commission meetings, and these are the reports that we produce, well, part of them. But again, on page 5, for example, it's the March 1st through May 31st of 22, represents the activity for that quarter, and so forth until we get to February 28th. Any questions on the trust-funded activity thus far? Okay. Good. Thank you. Let's go to page 9. I'm sorry. Here's some.
No, I said no.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So on page 9, same thing, but this is on the insurance funded. This is a more simple report because we don't have the other deposits in there. But as you can see, ending as of February 28th, we have $940,000. The requirement is for us to collect assessments until the fund reaches $1 million. Is somebody joining? No? Okay. I thought I heard somebody joining, but as long as everybody's still here, I'll continue. So, hello, somebody, I'm just making sure that nobody, dropped. Rebecca, if you can say yes, are you still here? Rebecca? Okay, maybe she dropped off. Amy?
Here.
Okay. Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe Rebecca dropped off then. Because I heard a beep, so. Yeah, let's pause a little bit and let's see if she'll rejoin us shortly.
Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened.
Okay, great. No worries. That's okay, Rebecca. Glad you were able to join back. Okay, so actually I was just about to start talking about the insurance-funded guarantee fund activity on page 9. So I believe I was just saying that we have about 940 here in this report, plus the additional deposits that we got for calendar year 2022, which are assessments collected from the insurance-funded sellers of $1 per contract. We believe we should be around 975. The requirement is to stop assessing once the fund reaches $1 million. So with the interest that we're earning, maybe we'll be at that point where we'll reassess that at the end of this year to see where we are as far as the fund balance. But we're very close to not collecting any additional assessments. But the report would just show that the only thing we've had so far was trustee fees, the interest earned, and the deposits that I mentioned earlier. In pages 10 through 13, the same thing as before, the quarterly reconciliations that we perform, each starting on, like I said, 10 through 13. If there are no, does anybody have any questions before we complete this part of the discussion?
No.
Okay. Well, do I hear a motion to approve the activity of the funds and investment officer reports for the period of March 1st, 2022 to February 28th, 2023 as presented by me, Jesse Socia?
I'll motion this call, please.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? None. All in favor for the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Any opposed? None. The ayes have it and the motion passes. I just want to thank everyone for that. So now we can go to item C. And as you know, part of our policy on, this is the investment policy that we have as it relates to the guarantee fund, both funds actually, and what we do is we're required to review it annually. Typically it's done in May when we have our meetings, and we basically go through it and see if there's any updates that need to be made to it. This year we're not proposing a lot of changes, just a few clarification or updates. For example, on page 14 of the packet, you'll notice that we're updating the dates for, to reflect that we met today and when this was a prior meeting. The page 15, nothing there. 16, no changes. 17, none. And the other, there are a few comments on page, or edits, suggested recommendations on page 18. And this basically, I'll remind the council that, you know, we are not required to follow the Public Funds Investment Act. That's something that other funds have to, but we've tried to model our investment policy to mirror it as much as possible. We also do have another investment policy that applies to the whole Department of Banking. And when we make changes to these two policies, and this investment policy is number 2016, the one for the Department of Banking is 2027, Administrative Memorandum. But we try to make those changes. If we make changes to one, we make sure the other one is the same to promote consistency and also to ensure that we're, you know, basically doing the same thing on both sides. So on this particular page, what we were trying to do is just update the fact that there are The comptroller periodically updates on their website the companies that state agencies are barred from doing business with. And the change here was basically just to, instead of trying to list all the various companies, we provided the link at the bottom as a footnote, and you'll notice that you can go in there at any moment and look at those companies. And really, that's the only change that we were recommending to the council. But I'll open it up for any discussion at this moment.
It's Rebecca. I have some discussions, and Jay and I have talked about this, and I think he has reached out to council. I am asking for the bullet unauthorized investment. The wording, which we discussed, is not consistent, first of all, with... Did you get my email with the attachments regarding this, sent this morning to you, Jesse, and to Jay?
Helping
me clarify what I'm trying to get at, because it's hard for me to communicate
exactly
what's going on.
Yes,
did you get a chance to look at those?
Yes, we did. When you sent it to Jay, Jay and I discussed it. And I also had Marcus Adams, our deputy general counsel, look at them too. So yes.
Because it came, this morning. I didn't get a chance to answer Jay's email, but those will help you to understand what my concerns are about the wording on that bullet. And I think Jay told me that Marcus had mentioned that to keep that consistent with the code, and actually the wording in as it stands now in the red line does not match, first of all, down at the bottom. The words are completely different. Take for instance, the "and" is not the same as down below. It's marked out. The ties to Sudan. I guess my concern is there are so many companies that are prohibited and now barred doing business with, and the Department of Banking's prepaid funeral contract is not obligated to be that concerned about, is what you've already said that. So I don't know why do we have to have just that investments in a company doing business in Sudan, Iran, and the terrorist organizations, why is that the only one that's listed there along now with this new added red line? So there's more companies that have been added to the comptroller's list. And I just think that it's concerning to have those two together, either separated out or list all the companies, or take out the terrorist investment one and then just have it redlined to go to the comptroller's website, and there you will have all the companies separated out. Am I making myself clear? That's why I wanted you to look at those notes I sent.
Hi, Rebecca. This is Mark Sams, Deputy General Counsel of the Department. I think you're coming in clear. So just kind of going in order on the concerns you brought up, starting with just the language and potentially differing between what's in the bullet point and what's in the actual footnote. With regard to kind of the and the or, those serve different purposes in the two different provisions. The bullet point is just saying that, all of these are prohibited, and then the footnote is just confirming that, any of these can be found in that link that is cited in the footnote. As far as why we would have this language in here specifically, that is how it is laid out by the legislature. This is a provision that prohibits investing in companies the department can't contract with. The legislature has specified that language in its statutes that they passed, and so, you know, we maintain consistency both with the government code as it's written and across all of our policies in the department.
So, well, I've got the government code here, which I think I sent as an attachment, 809, and you're referencing 2252, 152, and 153, and it is separated out. And I don't think it would be that difficult to make the change. It's not consistent, and it is important to me to have the language exactly as it's written, that, you know, the ends and the ties and terrorist organizations and all that. It's important to have to, you know, I'm not a legal authority, but it just seems to me so strange to have those two connected on that one bullet point. And why would it be so difficult to separate those out?
So I agree that, you know, using specific language and using the right language is important, and, you know, so we can certainly agree on that. As far as, you know, why we would include all of those under the same bullet point is, you know, we're looking at all of the statutes in the government code that prohibit contracting with these entities. So, you know, we're not looking at 809, we're looking at, you know, 2274, 2252. Those are the chapters that prohibit state agency contracting with these entities, and thus, you know, why we would want to limit the ability to invest in an entity we can't contract with.
Rebecca, and let me just add, Rebecca, if I can add, the reason why they're in the same bullet point, these are specifically pointed out in the in this site that we're talking about, so they're all grouped together. So that's why the thought of putting it in the same bullet point kind of made sense to us, or to me at least, because I was like, they're all in this. You can go on this one website, and they're all listed there. Iran and Sudan are specifically noted there, and all these other ones as well. So that was the thought process.
And this is Wendy Rodriguez.
There's 11 prohibited bids and contracts on the comptroller side, and why not list the first one, or audit services, something, firearms, professional sports, law enforcement agencies, and then add the companies, the red line. Why is who decided to put one out of all of them?
Well,
that's my question.
Rebecca, this is Wendy with the department again. One of the things that we also have to abide by is the Texas Procurement and Contracting Management Guide that is put out by the Comptroller of Public Accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They have very specific guidelines. And the framework that they have, that they've set up, is to help agencies, not just the department, but all state agencies, because we are still considered a state agency, regardless of our SDSI status, to basically, it's a guide to us to help us acquire goods and services and to continue contracting with other companies. The comptroller actually has within their guide, and I believe it is on page 90 of a 274-page guide, that talks about Iran, Sudan, and the terrorist organization checks. They actually define governmental agencies there, and the language that we have chosen for this bullet is pretty close to the language that they have in the guide as well. The guide itself is used not only by state agencies, but it's used by the comptroller when they do reviews of any purchases and contracts that we have. So the language that has been selected for this edit pretty much comes from that section of the procurement guide that is established by the comptroller, who by statute has to put all of this information out. And they are also the ones that created the divest statute list that is referenced at the very bottom of the page 5 of that memorandum.
Okay.
So I just want to kind of give you a little bit of a background.
I understand that. I'm very clear on that. I just don't know. I'm going back to, it's not telling me, explaining to me why this one particular investment in companies doing business in the Sudan, Iran, or terrorist organizations is along the same lines of what you added. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Even when you just explain that to me, I don't know why it can't be. Can we just leave that out or add another bullet?
Okay.
Why
so
can the investment companies doing business in Sudan stand alone?
So to answer your question directly, yes, it could. But again, you're asking why the decision was made to group them together. And what I said earlier was because they're all in the same, if you look at the Comptroller's office, the divestment statute list, these are all in the same webpage, right? So they're grouped together in the Comptroller's office link as well. So we were trying to mirror what the Comptroller is doing. So that's the reason behind it.
And also mirror the language that is in the procurement guide that listed out these in the same order and fashion that they're listed in the memo. So in the procurement guide, let me just read you this one sentence. It does say governmental entities may not contract with a company doing business with Iran, Sudan, or a foreign terrorist organization. So we took that is the actual language from the guide.
Yes, I understand it's the actual language, but I don't know why that one was chosen out of all of the other ones.
I don't know why the Comptroller chose that.
I'm sorry?
I don't know why the Comptroller chose that specifically.
Okay.
So I think at the end of the day, Rebecca, the general answer I think that we can provide to you is that we are trying to mirror what the guidance out there is set out by the Comptroller's Office and any other applicable state agency, state regulatory agency that we need to adhere to. So, I mean, if we separate it out, Rebecca, it still needs the same thing. So, I mean, we were just trying to, again, the idea was group it together because it is linked together in the Comptroller's office. That was the thought process. And again, even I think in the chapter 2252, the section that we emailed you, the language, the heading uses that specific language as well. 2252.152 says contracts with companies engaged with Iran, Sudan, and foreign terrorist organizations. So again, we're just mirroring what the legislature passed, and that was our thought process. And again, we did add these companies in there as an add-on because that's how the Comptroller mirrors their website or their list. So that was the process.
And one other thing I'd like to point out is that the divestment statute list, those listings get updated periodically, and if we go out to list every single company they have, we would be having these meetings a lot more frequently, having to review the list of the new added companies or anyone that's removed. So if we make this policy all-inclusive, listing all the companies, that's what would end up happening, is that this would probably end up being a monthly meeting, if not more frequently, just because of the number of times that they will update the list.
I appreciate you trying to explain all this to me. I'm just a consumer trying to understand all of this, and it's very confusing. I'm looking at the reference of the 809 that I looked up myself. I was not sent that by anybody, so I had to dig deep for that. It's not together. I'm not saying where this language is together. If it has to be if the DOB is comfortable and feels like they have to have this investments and company doing business, that's okay. I can't do anything about that. But I just feel like having it on the, I don't understand why it's so difficult to have another, just add another bullet.
So, Rebecca, just to
clarify,
so Chapter 809 is on the prohibition on investment in financial companies that boycott certain energy companies. That wouldn't really be the applicable chapter that would be kind of getting applied here. It would be Chapter 2274, which prohibits government entities, including the Department of Banking, as state agency, on contracting with companies boycotting certain energy companies. I wanted to clarify that point. As far as, you know, why they wouldn't be separated out into separate bullet points, I think it's because this bullet point has, it's all tied to the same purpose of that provision, of that specific bullet point. So that bullet point is specifically, you know, prohibiting investments in companies that the department can't contract with. So, you know, it would kind of, it just wouldn't serve much of a purpose to say, to have several bullet points saying, you know, a department cannot, you can't invest in, you know, every single, and, you know, having a bullet point for every single one of those items.
Well, it would, to me, it would be more clear.
So, Rebecca, right now, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt. Would it suffice if we took that bullet, ended it at organizations, added a period there, made a bullet, and said any other companies that are prohibited by law?
That would work. Separating it out, I mean, the and was a concern.
Okay.
It says ties down at the bottom.
So,
you know,
the,
that's confusing.
So, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but just to clarify again on the difference in the language between in the footnote and in the provision, in the bullet point above, you know, the statute itself says, you know, in companies doing business in Sudan and Iran, etc. The bullet point refers to the actual comptroller's website divestment page, which lists out, you know, the divestment statute lists, and, you know, then it has sublinks for each of those lists as applicable. The actual language used on the comptroller's divestment webpage specifically says companies with ties to. So that is why there is the difference between doing business in the bullet point itself and with ties to in the actual footnote. That is why that language differs, and that is because we are trying to maintain consistency with the actual language used both in the statute and by the comptroller on their own website.
Right. I appreciate that. Trying to explain that to me. The language is important, and I just feel like the consistency needs to be above and down at the bottom. But anyway, Wendy, I appreciate the offer of trying to separate that out. I just really feel it's important.
All right, we'll go ahead and do that, and we'll make that a new bullet point, just to say that any companies that are prohibited, we'll move that to another bullet, and that'll make two different bullets. That way it's very distinctive.
That would be wonderful. And then how would that be the wording at the bottom? Would that change how the wording at the bottom?
Well,
I'm sure it would.
We'll have to add a second footnote. So you would take out the red line that's currently in the footnote and add a new footnote directing the reader to that same website page as in the preceding footnote.
That would be awesome.
Wonderful.
I think that would solve the problem.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and take care of that.
So I guess what we're hearing is, and I'm not an expert, I think you are, Wendy, a little bit more. So we're revising. I'm gonna see if we can approve the memorandum based on the condition or that we separate bullet point Wendy just discussed on page 18 of the packet. And also revise the bullet point to make it more reflective. So if we do that, and then what we can do is make that change, email it to everybody, and then if everybody approves it in an email, I guess confirms that in an email, then we will move forward with that. So I'm going to do a revised kind of motion to make sure that everybody's in agreement with these changes. Is it?
Roberto? A couple more things. On the email that I sent you, Jesse and Jay, about the discussions, so I was going to try and clarify with you. That was one of them. And then did you read where I was asking if the DOB was concerned about actions from these companies that are listed?
So Rebecca, let me. I just want to step in here for a minute. I know you sent this email to. It sounds like you just sent it to Jesse and Jay. And not the other two members of the council here. I think, you know, if we want to discuss...
I had to send it to everybody because I've been corresponding with Jay and Jesse. I did not know, and please forgive me. I will send those to you as well.
I just want to note, you know, if we're going to discuss that here, I think you need to fully make the other members aware of, you know, what the concerns are and not just reference the email because they, I'm assuming, aren't going to be able to follow, you know, that discussion without kind of full knowledge of what the issue is.
Right. Well, I'm sorry. I had no idea he was going to be present today. So... Jesse and Jay have that email.
Yeah. Let me clarify what Marcus is asking you to do. Is that if you will please state your concerns so that everybody can hear them, and not necessarily just reference the email, because Amy and Mr. Williams have not didn't get the email. So the ask is this: if you have the concerns, please state them still right now.
Okay, so the concern I had after that bullet point issue, I went to the comptroller's website, naturally, and to the facts about divesting from companies that boycott energy companies, because that's brand new, pretty new, and, I guess my question and concern was, would there be any concern that any of these companies, there's 300 plus, that would have take issue and legal action and possibly put the guarantee funds in jeopardy and in danger with any kind of dispute?
So again, I recognize, you know, Chapter 809 is specific as to which state governmental entities it is applicable to, and we're not referencing Chapter 809 with this provision in the memo. We are merely referencing the chapters that are relevant to the department, which prohibit the department from entering into contracts with those entities, and then, you know, just for... To ensure that, you know, we are investing soundly, we don't want to engage in investments in those same entities we also are barred from contracting with.
Right.
Hey, can I ask a quick question real quick? This is Kyle.
Yes, sir.
And I know this is probably out of your control, but what's the criteria for being barred? And who makes that decision?
That is something that you would have to direct that question to the comptroller.
Okay.
So, you know, it's the legislature and, you know, they enact the statutes and then, you know, have directed the comptroller to put those into effect.
Okay. That's good.
Yep. So, again, we're just following state directives and state mandates.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Well, and that goes back to, I hate to go back, but that goes back to exactly what I was talking about, when why choose one out of 11 of these groups that are not able to enter into contact or do business with. You know, why not list this latest one that lists the energy companies? And then, you know, do the other bullet point. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go backwards. That was one of my questions.
Okay, so just making sure I think we're going in circles a little bit. Can you just make sure that if we haven't addressed one of your questions, that we make sure that you let us know? I mean, the amendment that we talked about.
I think I've covered it all, and I'll make sure that I'll try to remember who all was present today, and make sure everybody gets that email.
So just to clarify on that point, that was merely just to ensure that the three members of this council are all aware of what is being discussed, and thus, you know, can appropriately act on that. So it's just, you know.
I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, so it.
I bet Commissioner Cooper could be there today, but I probably should send it to him too.
With Wendy, she's familiar, and we'll go ahead and forward that information to him as well. But just to make sure, the email is not necessary anymore unless you want to, because we have verbalized the comments, and I think all the members now know or heard what your comments were, so I don't think it's necessary for you to send them unless you wish to do it on your own. But I think I heard you, Rebecca, say that addresses your questions, and I'm going to make a motion, okay, that... that we approve the Administrator Memorandum 2016 with the amended language that we discussed earlier, which is basically adding another, summarizing another bullet point and revising the footnote. And that's what I'm going to make a motion to do. And do I hear a motion? Somebody hear a motion to approve it as I indicated just now? Anyone?
I'll motion. This is Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Amy.
Sorry, go ahead. You're fine.
We'll go with Amy. So, Amy, thank you. Any discussion?
And so you'll be sending an email to go over that, the revised language, and the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you will be getting an email from Jake or myself.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay. The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Well, thank you. That was a good discussion there. Now let's go to discussion item D. Discussion of collection efforts, and Jay Kim, review examiner, is going to go over that section there. Okay.
Thank you, Jesse. This is Jay Kim, and I'll go over agenda item D, which starts on page 32 of the packet. And this report basically outlines entities and individuals that are paying restitution and penalties relating to prepaid funeral contracts. As a reminder, restitution is an amount owed back to consumers, and penalties are applied to the division's funds, which helps offset assessment collected from the industry. So to start off, the first entry item, again, top of page 32, is Kevin Keeney of Paul Dorn Funeral Home. This relates to previous mishandling of PFC funds, and he's still actively paying restitution. The order does require him to pay the restitution and penalty in full by August of this year. Based on the history of his payments, we're not certain that he will be able to pay all the remaining balances in full in the next coming months. But should the deadline passes, we're going to consult with our legal division, and we'll likely do a legal referral to the Attorney General's office for collection. And one thing I do want to highlight, although restitution balances remain, all of the consumer's principal has been paid in full and fully refunded. So any subsequent restitution that we do receive is going to be refunded back to consumers as interest. So at a minimum, they do have all the principal paid back, which reduces our concern. Next is Amarillo Funeral Home. This was a case.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
On the Kevin he's paying half the restitution payments, and so this person is still in business, I take it?
He is not. He is no longer operating the funeral home.
Okay. All right. I don't have another question. Thank you.
Sure thing. Going back to Amarillo Funeral Home, this was again the case of illegal pre-need sale. The matter was ultimately referred to the AG's office for collection, and currently they've entered into an agreement with the AG's office to pay $100 monthly. So as of May of 22, all restitution have been paid and we're collecting on penalties, again, which goes to the division's funds. On bottom of page 32 is Gonzalez Funeral Home. They are paying $100 monthly payments, and although this cuts off in August, this report is as of February, but they have since started resuming paying in March, so we do have some current activity there. And this was the result of the department reaching back out to this individual and making sure that he starts paying again. Any questions before we go on to the next page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so page 33, we have Robert Green, Green Mortuary. This one was similarly the result of illegal pre-needs. We have not been able to receive restitution and penalties. So following our protocol, this was referred to the AG's office. And last time we spoke, as of March, the AG is in the process of filing a lawsuit, hopefully for further collection. And the last item here, David Benjamin Vaughn, no restitution was involved in this case, just penalties, and he's been actively paying, so no concerns there. Moving on to page 4, this report identifies the paid in full cases during the reporting period, and we do have Hernandez Funeral Home, and I'm happy to report full restitution was paid as well as penalties, so we were able to close this case successfully.
I have a question about this one, which is really, it's awesome. What do you think made this one go so well?
Yeah, this one, you know, we did make sure on the consent order that we clearly identified the parties involved and responsible for paying, and we did have subsequent discussions after the order was issued to make sure that we both parties understand, you know, exactly where the restitutions are coming from, why they're due, and then as well as penalties. So, yeah.
Okay.
I would like to thank the department for going out there for people who suffered prior to funeral without a permit. So,
yeah.
Thank you for your efforts on that.
Yeah, Mr. Williams, I think that's something that's
completely unfair to funeral home involved at all.
Right, and that's part of the reason why we do that. I mean, sometimes we don't get full restitution, or you know, we're not able to fully resolve the issue, but definitely go through the administrative process. Typically, there's some sort of C&D order, administrative order. But definitely, we, you know, as soon as we get information on that's part of our responsibility to investigate and do as much as we can to, you know, make sure they comply as well. So I thank you for saying that, but that's definitely something that we've been doing for years and years, and we'll continue to do so as well.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, if there's no other comments or questions on that item D, then we can go to item E. On page 35 is basically a simple table showing our investment policy requires that the investment officers obtain training every 2 years. This is just showing the current status. I was able to complete that earlier this year. The other investment officers, Sammy Chadley, he'll be taking it this summer, so we'll both be in compliance with our investment policy. Again, nothing more than just showing the current status there. If there's no other comments on that, we can go to basically that kind of concludes the item, the packet here, but there are a few other things I wanted to talk about. One of them is future meeting dates. As you know, the policy also states that if there are going to be any, at least once a year, we have to have a meeting, and or if 6 months after the legislature session ends, if there's any recommended revisions to the policy, the investment policy, we have to also meet. But looking at the 88th legislative session will end in May 29th, which is basically Monday. There is one amendment to the Public Fund Investment Act, but looking at it, we don't believe that's something that's going to apply to us. We've reviewed it, and it's at the governor's office right now, so he needs to sign it still, but more likely it will become effective. But again, I don't think we'll have to, there'll be any recommended changes to the investment policy based on that.
Jesse, do you know what that is? Did you say what that is?
Hey, Rebecca, this is Jay. Yes, it's Senate Bill 1246.
Okay. And so we won't need to meet again with this revision to the unauthorized investment?
No, because the revision, as you know, the Public Funds Investment Act addresses a lot of issues with other agencies and so forth. So it's just, and looking over the revisions, we don't believe it's going to require us to meet. We're not going to have any recommended revisions to the policy. A lot of it has to do with repos, basically, in the repurchase agreements, where it allows the comptroller now to repurchase or do repos from state agencies that are allowed to do that. Well, our policy just says, you know, the comptroller office can engage or repurchase agreements. It doesn't get into what type of repurchase agreement. So if the amendment allows the comptroller office to engage in one additional repo or additional repos, we don't need to amend our policy because our policy just says, you know, we can do it. The comptroller can do it. So that's why we don't believe it's necessary for us to do anything, any revisions. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, good. So yeah, it'll probably be next year, sometime in May, when we'll, unless there's some unforeseen event that requires a meeting between here in May, which will obviously we will notify you. Our next meeting will probably be next year, a year from now. And we'll update everybody as we know further. A couple other things I wanted before we conclude. Amy, your term ends on the end of this year, but you still do have the ability to do another 2 years. So we're hopeful that you'll be able to do that. And as you know, Chapter 154, 355, the Finance Code, lines that out, so we will be contacting you separately, Amy, to hopefully re-up for another 2 years. Okay? And Rebecca, yes, you've reached your limits. This will be your...
No.
This will be your...
2016.
Yes.
You guys put up with me.
Yes. This is the fourth 2 year. So, but it ends on December 31st of this year. So, you're still on the council and a member until then. And yeah, we wanted to appreciate your time and your contributions to the Guarantee Fund. Has been a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll be in contact. You know, maybe emails or something before here and there. But as an official meeting, unless there's another meeting, this will be your last minute. Meeting. And again,
yes.
I want to thank you.
I'll be waiting to get the email with the revisions. But I've learned so much. I don't know how y'all do it. it's so complicated, you know. And I really, really appreciate your patience. And just listening to me with my silly questions, and you know, I'm only doing this for the consumer, and trying to understand as best I can everything that you guys do down there. I know it can be difficult.
Well, thank you, Amy, for the nice words, and yeah, and again, we thank you for your contributions. I'm sorry, Rebecca, not Amy. I said Amy.
Are you going to send me a gold watch?
we'll see what we'll have to talk to Commissioner Cooper about that. I don't know if we have that in our.
I know. I need some kind of gift certificate to Starbucks.
Well, thank you again. Thank you, Rebecca. Okay. Well, I think we're towards the end of our meeting. If nobody has anything else, there will be no further meeting. This meeting of the Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Council is now adjourned. The time is 10:59 a.m. And thank you, everyone. So.
Thank you.